Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90. John, the game on a very big Thursday and a huge week of sports here in the Atlanta area. Going to be hot today. Going to be low 90s for Eastlake and Tiger and the whole crew. Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau, and all the great golfers. Rory McIlroy at the Tour Championship today. If you haven't gotten up yet to speed yet on Hate Week, don't worry. It'll only take you about 10 seconds.
What?
I got it, John.
Thank you.
It'll only take you 10 seconds.
No.
Ba-doom-ching. Someone needs a drum set in here.
No. He just dropped that in the middle of the conversation. It was like, bow.
And
like,
then looked around at all
like,
of us.
Like, well, wait for a retort. What you want me to say?
Bless you.
That's all you need to do. Ha.
Ha. I have those special moments every now and then.
That's that freak floss for you.
It's called mornings. I know. I have those special moments, too. All right, so here we go with Hate Week. It's really kicked into gear now. Our coverage begins at 11 in the morning on Sunday with Mike and Hugh for the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff, sponsored by Bud Light, America's favorite game day lager. That will be at the AT&T Perch inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
We had Bud Lights last week.
Oh, you did.
Wait a minute. Let me clarify.
Uh-huh.
We had them on set.
Okay.
We did not have them. I don't want anybody to think we out there getting it in.
You might want to clean that up.
Yeah. Hey, AT, you know what? Since you've been here, man, you've been a guy. So you keep me out of the office. I had to clean that up. No, we didn't drink them.
Right.
They weren't open.
Mm-hmm.
But they're props. And they're pretty cool props. They're pretty cool because they're cold.
How like, do you not real. Drink them?
I'm not listening. Can't be drinking on the job. Well, right. I can't be drinking on the job because that's not a good look.
The Saints come in. They're yakking in New Orleans. We'll tell you in a second what they're writing this morning down on the swamp about this game here. First, let's get to what the Falcons were talking about yesterday. Devontae Casey, our first chance really to hear from him since he got kicked out of the game when he hit Cam in the head. This is what Devontae Casey said yesterday about his ejection and what he learned.
Well, I got to learn, you know, when to take my shots and not to take my shots, you know. I was playing too fast in the game and trying to make a play and overplayed it. I mean, I apologize for, you know, for him, you know, for hitting him like that, whatever, but I didn't do it on purpose. It was just trying to make a play. That's all.
Yeah, trying to make a play, that's all. Now, what we need Devontae to
Don't
do is—
Don't apologize. Damage is done.
Right.
I mean, it happened. You know, hey, man, it's unfortunate. Keep it moving. Cause like what was that like? After you do the, you already did the damage. You just go ahead and let it ride. Let it ride.
We need Demonte to channel his inner Aztec from his college days when he led the nation in interceptions. That's what we need this week. Grady Jarrett also had a chance to speak yesterday, and Grady was talking about. Look, everybody understands. We know that you know no Deion, no Keanu, maybe you know we don't know about Tack. You know Andy Levitre. And look, the Falcons are dinged up, but again, no complaints, no excuses, right, Grady Jarrett? No complaints, no excuses.
No, I wouldn't say it's harder. It's kind of we just doing what we do, you know. Having guys like Debo and Keanu out and do change some things, but I mean, you got to work with what you got, you know. And we got guys that, you know, more than willing and able to get the job done, as you can see from having some of the success we did in our last game. So we feel totally confident, and whatever coach called, we'll be ready.
Now, of course, you know, trying to get to Drew Brees is not easy, even if you have everybody healthy 100% and you're blitzing on every play because. As Grady said, Drew's not one of those guys that'll hang around in the pocket and kind of survey the field. Drew Brees goes really fast.
Absolutely. Without a doubt, he gets the ball out of his hand so fast and has been able to make his team have a lot of success and move the ball very efficiently. So that's definitely something that's on their mind.
Yeah, so I'm thinking more, you got to really think about those passing lanes, Hugh, if you're on the defensive line. And when you were playing with guys that had quick releases, you know, it's almost more about, you know, stopping, setting, jumping, and batting, right?
Well, like, the guy that comes to mind who said quick release is Dan Marino immediately. I know for a lot of people, are like, who? But, yeah, Dan Marino was one of those guys. He never let the ball stay in his hands that long. He was always great at timing routes.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that you have to do, I would think, against Drew Brees is you can't get lulled into that quick pass thing because they're probably going to come out and do that. You know, a lot of defenders, when you play against a quarterback like that, they come out and initially – to slow the pass rush up. They throw the ball quick, throw the ball quick, throw the ball quick, quick slants and stuff like that just to get the rhythm going. And then they lull you to sleep with that so that they can drop back and throw the ball deep. And that's going to be a huge test for this Atlanta Falcons defense, not to get lulled into that false sense of, you know, why am I going to rush? He's not going to, you know, he's not going to have the ball in his head anyway. You got to keep that pressure up. And that way you can help those linebackers out. Because Duke Riley, had a chance to talk to him yesterday, and he was talking about how it's different playing that middle position and just how he just needs to get the reps. They're going to try to exploit that young linebacking core with Foyzi Oluokun and Duke Riley. They're going to try to take advantage. If I'm Drew Brees, that's where I'm trying to get most of my work done, is in that middle of the field. So it's going to be important that those young guys and that pass rush up front try to help those guys out and help them out with getting pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, we were talking about when you and I were up at Flowery Branch yesterday, we were talking about that with a couple of the guys, because what did McCaffrey have, 12 catches last week? So, I mean, a ridiculous number of catches, all the checkdowns to him. You can expect more of that, a healthy diet from Alvin Kamara. I mean, that's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to put the ball in his hands. Because one of the things they're not doing right now in New Orleans is they're not running the ball. It says, because this is what they said this morning, just looking at some of the notes. Without Mark Ingram, of course, he's still serving that suspension, going to have one more game after the Falcons. Without Mark Ingram, the Saints have been held in the first two games to a total, Hugh, of 105 yards rushing. That's it. 105 yards. Now, granted, some of that had to do with the fact that Tampa jumped all over them, and they had to throw the football a lot to try to come back in that Tampa
game. Yeah, and you're talking about, like, when you look at it, though, John, playing against really two really good defenses at the beginning of the season, and now you're about to face a third. So if I'm the Atlanta Falcons coming into this game, it's New Orleans is going to try to establish the run. There's no question about that, because they've been in two games where it's been somewhat of a shootout where they've had to throw the ball a lot, but they're going to come in and they're going to try to establish the run. Same way that Coach Quinn established the run against Carolina after having that first game against the Philadelphia Eagles. So I would think coming into this game this weekend that for Coach Payton, that it's going to be imperative that you get the run game started early.
We're talking about the Falcons and Saints and Hate Week and all that kind of good stuff. Again, Sunday, 1 o'clock kick, West, Dave, John Michaels on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Saints also talking on their blogs and in their newspapers about the fact that they need to limit the big plays that the other teams get because they've been giving up. Go back to the Minnesota play, Stephon Diggs, who I don't know how much he got paid for that Geico commercial based on one play, but Duke got paid for that Geico commercial, that's for sure. Everything sticks to him. He plays football? Yeah.
That was a Geico commercial?
Yeah, it was a Geico commercial. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I saw the commercial, but I didn't know it was Geico.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And so I don't know how much he got paid from that. And then, of course, all the big plays that Tampa was putting up with Mike Evans and whatnot, DeSean Jackson running free. So they want to try and limit those big plays, and the Falcons certainly capable of doing that with Ridley and Jones and whatnot. So we'll see how that works out. There's this at NOLA.com. NOLA.com is the website of the big newspaper down in New Orleans, the one that you usually see lying in the ground, crumpled, trying to, you know, soak up grease on Bourbon Street. It says this.
Throw that in there, huh?
Yeah. Huh? Who Dat Nation, this is NOLA.com. And by the way, it's not even, it's Who Are You, not Who Dat, and it's not even a nation, it's barely a parish. Who Dat Nation is in disbelief, and even though the home team found a way to win against the lowly Cleveland Browns, all those bandwagon jumpers, get out. Saints have bandwagon jumpers? All those bandwagon jumpers are ready to get back to feeding the pigeons on Sunday. Pigeons is perfect because it's the national bird down there. If you can't get ready for your biggest rival on the road after two duds, I'm not sure what else you can get up for. They're starting to question this team. They're wondering a little bit about this ball club.
That's what you heard from that?
Mm-hmm.
I heard, it just sounded like kind of like what you do every day, like talk bad about the Falcons and how important this rivalry is.
I don't talk bad about
about
Falcons.
The Saints, you know what I mean? But I'm just saying, when I say Falcons, they're talking bad about the Falcons getting ready for the game. That's what I'm saying.
They're talking about bandwagon jumpers who are getting ready to go back to feeding pigeons.
This is the hate. This is what Hate Week is. Like, listen, man, we had two duds. We had two close games. You got to get up for this one.
Right.
That's what I'm hearing. I'm not hearing them, like, I don't hear doubt. Am I wrong? Am I listening to that?
I read it again. Who Dat Nation is in disbelief. Even though the home team found a way to win against the lowly Cleveland Browns, all those bandwagon jumpers, we're talking about Saints fans, are ready to go back to feeding the pigeons on Sundays. Hey, if you can't get ready for your biggest rival on the road after two duds, I'm not sure what else you can get up for.
Okay, I see, because you're talking about feeding the pigeons, instead of watching football.
Right.
when I heard Pigeons, I thought they were talking about the Falcons.
No.
No disrespect.
That's who they were talking about.
I think they're talking about
sitting around Jackson Square with dead people throwing like corn on the ground.
Am I wrong?
Tomato, tomato.
That's what I heard. Maybe I heard it wrong. I don't know.
Okay, all right, whatever. It's 8 week. Falcons and Saints, and of course our coverage continues throughout the week all the way to Sunday and game. Oh, one other quick thing here, because it's going to be interesting. Think about this. Obviously, when these guys come to town, everybody's thinking about being here because it's going to be our third Super Bowl, and the Falcons want to be the first team ever to play in their own home stadium, you know, which would be the best possible outcome for us. The worst possible outcome would be for those people who are feeding pigeons in the park there down in New Orleans to be here on that Sunday. That'd be the worst possible outcome. That'd be awful. I shudder at the thought of that. Did you hear who got the halftime show? This Maroon 5 is not going over well. I mean, and I was one of the first people to go, huh? You know, because there are a lot of things I'd rather do than watch Maroon 5 at halftime, Wendy. I don't know, chew razor wire.
I like Maroon 5.
What do they sing?
I'm going to tell you why Maroon 5 will work. Maroon 5 will work because they have a lot of different songs with a lot of different people. So they cross genres with their music. So that's why you choose a Maroon 5 and they're safe.
Well, yeah, I get that. But it's here in Atlanta and there are a lot of... Wait, let me finish. There are a lot of Atlanta artists from different genres that live here, are from here.
Okay, the Super Bowl was in Atlanta back in 2000. Do you remember the Super Bowl halftime show the last time it was here in Atlanta?
Who was it?
Phil Collins.
He's not from here.
Aguilera, that's safe. Enrique Iglesias. They added Tina Turner and Toni Braxton. So that was your Super Bowl halftime show the last time it was in Atlanta. And like Daryl said, Maroon 5 and Adam Levine himself have collaborated with so many hip-hop recording artists and artists here in Atlanta.
R&B artists also. Mm-hmm. And they have a semi-recording Atlanta artist in the group being P.J. Morton. So, I mean, they have Atlanta roots. P.J. will know what to do. So just give them a little chance.
And because the first Super Bowl in 94, which was that route that the Cowboys beat the Bills, I was at that Super Bowl at the Georgia Dome. That was Clint Black and Travis Tritt, of course, you know, Sprayberry High guy, and Tanya Tucker and those people. They did the country thing in 94. And then, right, Phil Collins and now. But the point is, I think you guys are probably onto something here, because Maroon 5 is going to have to do something like that. You know, they're going to have to bring out, you know, all the special guests and stuff. But why don't they say Maroon 5 and special guests and let everybody kind of guess?
The NFL still has not announced this. It's just been Variety that's reporting it. The league that has not made any official announcement on the halftime show. But
that first report came out, and boy, you want to talk about Lead Anvil? Thud. You know what? Hanson was busy, you know?
But if you think about it, the one Atlanta artist right now that could probably headline and make a crazy, crazy headlines would be an Outkast, because you would get the guys back together again. But
Future. I would like to see Future do that.
They have a song with Future.
I would love
Maroon
to see
Maroon 5 has a song with Future.
I would love to see Future at halftime.
They have a song with Ying Yang Twins.
They have a song with Cardi B. They have a song with SZA. They have a song with plenty of acts that people would be like, Yeah, you'll
but
be
I think
okay.
When people initially heard the name Maroon 5, they didn't tie together all of their Atlanta ties that they have. And they have a tour coming up. They have something to promote.
I know. It just struck me that it was just roundly hated, you know, by the NFL. Oh, man, are you kidding me? Those guys, you know, is soft pop rock going to, you know, dominate here? I mean, it didn't strike everybody as being, because, you know, I started thinking about halftime shows, and that doesn't exactly strike me as being one, you know, that I would necessarily jump for. I mean, the Rolling Stones or...
Okay, let's be honest. How many halftime shows in the history of Super Bowls have we really sat down and watched? Like, seriously.
I watched them.
I watched all the halftime.
I can see that, especially with Daryl being a music guy. But I don't watch the halftime show. The closest thing that I came to watching one was when Prince did the halftime, it was raining, and he was out there and it had a do-rag on his head, and I was just like, he's a G, because he's out there with a do-rag on playing the guitar and it's raining because he don't want to get his hair wet. That's it. And Beyonce is because of the outfits. And then everybody was mad because they thought that she was using that as a political statement. That's the one I watched a little bit of that one. But outside of that,
Ah. I mean, you had the Stones, you had the Who.
Coldplay recently, Bruno.
Didn't watch it.
And then you had Britney Spears, NSYNC, Aerosmith, Nelly, Mary J. Blige.
Was the Who?
Was the best.
Yeah, I didn't like the one that the Who did. I'm not going to lie. And I'm not trying to disrespect anyone, but that one kind of put me to sleep.
It is the morning show with John and Hugh on a very big day. Top of the hour in studio at 8 o'clock. If you're just jumping in your car, Michael Vick and Brad Childress from the new Atlanta team from the AAF, they're going to be in studio with us. Going to talk to those guys about the new team and what they've got in store. It's going to be a big time here at the 8 o'clock hour here. Next up, though, we're going to get you updated on the NFL because the NFL week three starts tonight. And we are looking around wondering about what could happen this evening. Could the Browns finally win a game? That's next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90. John the game. Browns finally get a victory in the National Football League.
Yes.
Welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90. John the game. Well, man to my left here is already on record as saying the Browns are at home tonight against the New York Football Jets.
I just feel bad for the Browns. That's all. I know that sounds really weird because I don't feel bad for nobody. But it's just that the beginning of the season, when you look at it, and I know it was if was a fifth, I understand that. But they played two close games where, in for the most part, the waning moments of the game,
right,
it did not go their way. And I just feel bad for Hugh Jackson, man, because he got on Hard Knocks and he was talking about how this is going to be a special year. This is going to be one. And it hasn't turned out to be that way so far. And I just feel bad for him. And I know it's against the former team of mine that drafted me and whatnot. But still, I want them to get this win tonight.
Well, yeah, you get the sense they're going to get a win. I mean, they should have had two. And they are at home. And they are favored, by the way, to win the game. So, I mean, they are favored to beat the Jets tonight at home. So we'll see if they can get it done against Sam Darnold. We will have, if you're in your car late tonight and you're a Browns fan or a Jets fan or just an NFL fan, we're going to have that game live on Sports Radio 99. The game coverage begins at 8 tonight with a kickoff at 8:30 between the Jets and the Browns on Sports Radio 99. The game. Now, to the rest of the NFL. We know about Hate Week at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It is a 1 o'clock kickoff on Sunday afternoon. Some of the other things, the Steelers are having all kinds of issues. Man, the start of their season has not been good. 0-1-1, they tied the Browns, and then they gave up 174 passing touchdowns to Pat Mahomes in one game. And now, Antonio Brown not even showing up for work on Monday, and this is what Mike Tomlin said about that.
Regarding Antonio, he and I met yesterday for an extended period of time. I'll leave the nature of that conversation between us. There was discipline involved for his missed meeting for Monday. Some of the other things we talked about extensively, he'll speak for himself in some of those things.
What's going on in Pittsburgh, Hugh? I mean, they're going down to Tampa for a Monday night game that if they lose, they'll be, winless through three games. And you got Le'Veon Bell not showing up for work. You got Antonio Brown not showing up for work. What the heck?
I will say this, John. Monday in the NFL is not a major day to miss. It's one of those days where you probably go in for the Steelers and you watch film. You might do a light lift or something like that. So I can't see it being a big to-do. But you have to be there. It's your job. You have to be there. And I know that Coach Tomlin wanted him there. He came out and he said something about he just wants to win. He said something, Antonio Brown, that is, said something about he just wants to win and things of that nature. It has to be frustrating for the Pittsburgh Steelers because they're off to a start that, they're not accustomed to. And the fact that, Le'Veon Bell, there's an issue with Le'Veon Bell and teammates are calling him out. It's just a tough time right now. And on top of that, you talk about what's the dude named Terry Bradshaw. Was talking bad about the coach and talking about he doesn't like his coaching style. This is just the perfect storm as far as all the negativity that's going on and levied against Coach Tomlin right now. This almost plays into what Terry Bradshaw was talking about. Well, it does play into what he was talking about. Mm-hmm. How he's kind of like people are starting to question whether or not he's lost that locker room.
Yeah, that's a big story in Pittsburgh. And, again, they play a big game, and we're actually kind of rooting for the Steelers. We need them to win on Monday night when they go down to Tampa. Meantime, there are a lot of questions about, you know, a lot of teams, including ours, dealing with a lot of injuries this season. And the Packers are holding their breath. Aaron Rodgers and company going on the road to Washington. And you get a sense that this is going to be kind of a, you know, a weekly thing with Aaron Rodgers in his knee. You know, how are you feeling this week? How are you feeling this week, Aaron? And that was a question again yesterday to Aaron Rodgers, who answered this way.
Is there any concern that instead of getting better as the year goes on, that your knee is going to continue to get worse as the year goes on?
I mean, yeah, that's obviously a concern. Hopefully it goes the other way, though.
Yeah, it's a concern. Hopefully it goes the other way. But Aaron Rodgers saying, you got a concern. That's not a good thing. If you're a Packers fan, you're going, ooh.
I mean, but how is he supposed to answer that question? I mean, when you think about that, John, the season, I always talk about being functional. You know, you want to get through the season. Nobody goes through the season injury-free. Nobody. That's impossible. It's impossible to do. But to remain functional, that's the question. That would have probably been a better question to ask him. Because, yes, it's going to get worse because that's just the nature of the season. But can he still play with it? You know, that's the question. If I'm a Packers fan, when I hear that, I understand what you're saying, there's cause for concern. But when you think about it, any football player that goes through the course of the season, you hear about Julio, he missed practice the other day because he's a little banged up. Mm-hmm. That's just the nature of football. As long as he's playing and he's out there making plays, that's the only thing that you can really care about. If he goes out there and said, I can't make plays anymore, you know, then that's some cause for concern.
Yeah, because you don't want, you know, Kaiser Soso getting in there to play quarterback. Because
yeah, you don't want that. Yeah, we've seen that. Yeah. We've seen that part.
You know, the backup quarterback situation at Green Bay not been good. So it rises and falls on the shoulders of Aaron Rodgers. And I guess to this point, you know, there's been no decision, obviously, to put him on the shelf for any period of time to try to, you know, hope that he gets better. And so I guess the Packers just kind of crossing their fingers.
I've been through that one, too, where, like, I banged my knee up. It was against Chicago. Banged my knee up. It was like probably the fifth or sixth game of the season. I didn't practice the rest of the year. I would go in. I was on the injury report. I played on Sunday. That's it. That's probably what he's doing. He's just playing on Sunday. But you, as long as you're getting the reps and everything, I mean, that's not nothing that you worry about. You know, everybody talks about practicing and everything. I didn't practice for the rest of the year, but I played on Sunday. And, you know, that – They put you in a good position with the chemistry that they put together for you. Better living through chemistry mm-hmm. in the NFL to get you out there to get ready to go on Sunday. And that's what it is. He's probably not going to heal up, John, honestly, until the end of the year. This is something that he has to deal with. They're probably going to do everything that they can. You know, he's going to be on the rehab list all year long. He's going to rehab, and he's going to do as much as he possibly can just to stay functional.
And so we'll keep our eyes again. Packers go to the Redskins. One of the other games, the late game Sunday night, the national game Sunday night, is Patriots and Lions. Now, the Lions are one of those teams that are 0-2. The Lions, the Bills, the Cardinals are really wondering, and you know, where the heck are we? What's going on here? Because it's not good. So think about this. Patriots and Lions, Matt Patricia, the right-hand man of Bill Belichick in New England, playing against his old team in Tom Brady. But the Patriots come in with some of their own issues, too. Not the least of which is they can't figure out whether or not they've actually made a trade for Josh Gordon.
If and when it happens, I'm happy to talk about it. Okay, it's not completed. So I don't understand how we don't understand that. It's not when it's completed, it's completed. If it's not completed, it's not completed. And right now it's not completed. So, next question.
All right, Hoodie. You just
see, this is the thing I don't understand about that, John. Why is it not completed? I saw a film of Josh Gordon in a Patriots jersey. And I saw that his locker is in the Patriots locker room. I don't understand that. And I think, again, the better question to ask Coach Belichick is what's holding it up. Now, I don't know if he can answer that question, but to just keep asking him what the problem is, he's not going to answer that. Just say, well, okay, what needs to happen in order for Josh Gordon to be cleared to play? That's a better question to ask. And I don't know if any reporters asked that question. I think everybody was just like, well, how they're trying to wrap their mind around the fact that he's there, but the deal's not done. I think that was the biggest thing that people were trying
to
figure
out. How much stock do you put in this whole divorce thing, Brady and Belichick? You know, that Brady wanted a divorce from Belichick, that he can't stand being around him, and this whole TB12 fallout with that Guerrero, and that Brady was going to ask for a trade, and, you know, all these, you know, rumors about, hey, he wanted a divorce from Bill Belichick, and those two can't stand each other after 18 years. Like any marriage or whatever it is.
What do I make of it?
Mm-hmm.
I think that where there's smoke, there's fire. I think that there's something to that. I think that it all started with the disintegration of the relationship between him, Coach Belichick, and the trainer, because that's where it kind of all stems from. And, you know, you're talking about the radio show that Tom Brady does in New England, where the one of the radio hosts asked him about that relationship and him being back on the plane.
Right.
I think that right now Robert Kraft is trying his damnedest to keep this relationship together as long as he possibly can. He knows that eventually Tom Brady's going to be done playing football. But I think his biggest fear right now is, John, that he's going to do it elsewhere. He does not want to – he can't envision life without Tom Brady. And he can't envision life with Tom Brady going somewhere else and playing for another team and possibly putting that team in position to win the Super Bowl.
Well, I know he can't. I mean, but I mean, this whole thing about, well, you know, he wants to play and he wants to stay with the greatest coach in the history of the NFL. Is Belichick really the greatest coach in the history of the NFL?
How many, like that, that's lofty, but how many Super Bowls has this man been to?
I understand that, but I mean, I think about great coaches, right? And I think you have to make something out of nothing. You know, they lucked into Tom Brady. I mean, they lucked into him, okay? They got lucky.
But they still made something out of nothing.
They lucked into the fact that this guy, nobody thought Tom Brady was going to be any good in the NFL at all coming out of college at Michigan. We were like, Tom Brady, that's stiff? They just got lucky. And he's,
And they've ridden that way to what,
no
eight
kidding.
Super Bowl appearances or seven or eight?
Who's more responsible for the Super Bowls, Tom Brady or Bill Belichick?
Both.
Nah.
It's a symbiotic relationship, John. Don't be mad at it.
And Drew Bledsoe getting hurt. Top of the hour at 8 o'clock. If you're just getting in your car, you got to stay right here. Michael Vick and Brad Childress, new head coach and offensive coordinator of the new AAF team in Atlanta, are going to be in studio with Hugh and I. That's at the top of the hour next. The Wendy's on a very busy Jumpin' Thursday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, everybody stand up!
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, with Variety reporting yesterday that Maroon 5 will play Super Bowl 53 here in Atlanta, asking on both 92.9 The Game on Twitter and on our Facebook page at 92.9 The Game, what was the best Super Bowl halftime show of all time? Is it Prince, Michael Jackson, Rolling Stones, or Janet Jackson, Justin Timberlake? Right now, 46% of people are saying Prince, 29% Michael Jackson, 21% Janet Jackson, and only 4% Rolling Stones. For me, it was the 2001 Super Bowl halftime show with NSYNC, Britney Spears, Aerosmith, Mary J. Blige, and Nelly.
And there were a lot of great ones. I mean,
Bruno Mars,
Bruce Springsteen,
Beyonce,
which jumps to mind.
Up with People.
I was going to go to the FAMU marching band and Up With People, and I knew that Wendy would have no idea what Up With People is. I bet Up With People did more halftime shows than anybody else.
You know what? I did that because I knew I'd get a look from Daryl.
Up With The People.
Now, Up With People was a 100-person singing group that would sing popular songs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they did a lot of the Super Bowls back in the day before it was a thing to have the real big stars come out, you know, like one of the first ones was like Al Hurt, you know, I mean, or somebody came out and they did a festival, and the next thing you know, you had the big names wanting to do the Super Bowl halftime show. But for a long time, the Florida A&M marching band was the halftime show. Not that that's a bad thing.
Well, the first one was the Grambling State marching band.
Grambling State marching band, right. They had marching bands, right, because nobody figured it would become the thing that it's become.
Well, you can weigh in on both 92.9 The Game on Twitter and our Facebook page. Well, the Boston Red Sox just one win away from winning the American League East, and so they had a banner made that they could unveil it when it happens, if it does happen. But in the process of being delivered to Fenway Park, the banner somehow fell off this delivery truck and onto the highway, where it was discovered by three buddies who were out on a coffee run. So they grabbed it off the road and did what any fan would do, sort of held it hostage. Seriously, they said they would return it to the team in exchange for playoff tickets. Now, here are the three buddies who are talking to a local news station in Boston, very thick accents, and this is what they had to say about finding that banner.
One person ran it over a little bit, like hit it a little bit, and then I'm like, pull over, what is it?
We thought it was jerseys or something like that, that's what it looked like, and then when we unraveled it and we seen what it was, we just knew it was something big.
We brought it behind Green Street Park, and we opened it up, it was then we realized what we had.
I'm going to give him back the banner, and that's going to be the good luck charm.
Want to give it back to the Red Sox, man. It's like, you know, to give him back that that luck.
Well, the company that made the banner accused the three guys of stealing the sign, which they denied.
That's what I was about to say.
When one of the guys got salty when they realized they weren't going to be rewarded. The Red Sox were not going to reward them with playoff tickets, so they ended up giving the banner back last night.
Let's go through this story, shall we?
Okay.
Let's just think about
this. All right.
How many trucks do you know of that deliver packages that packages automatically fall out? Like, just think of any FedEx truck that you've seen in the neighborhood or whatever, UPS or whatever. What kind of trucks are they?
Yeah, I don't see
it's
stuff
not a pickup
out,
truck.
Right?
It's not. It's they robbed that truck. That truck was.
Well, the banner fell onto the highway. The delivery truck driver did not know it fell out.
Okay.
It does happen.
Come on.
Haven't we seen money fall out of armored trucks?
And people have what are like, the odds? Stopped on well, the... Well,
it happens.
It no, happens.
Money fall out of... And then the fact that they took it behind it, it sounded like they took it in some old shady area just to see what it was.
Right.
They
were on a
side of the line. We thought it might be... How would they have known if it was just a package? We thought it might
and
be
jerseys. And he said,
jerseys.
I thought it was some jerseys. Thank
they
you.
They said they thought it was some jerseys.
They
and then heard
they, your banner. Give they, us tickets or we're hey. Not going to get
well,
the banner back.
Well, that's what they said that they... That's what they wanted. They wanted
you
playoff tickets in exchange.
Right.
You know, I might be wrong.
They found in the pack.
I might be wrong, but I think most of the bank robberies and trucks, like armored trucks, heists and stuff, that goes on in Boston. That's a lot. That happens a lot in
what
Boston.
What was that, the one movie?
With Ben Affleck.
Oh, The Town.
The Town, yeah.
That was a great film.
Good movie.
That's about Dorchester.
Armor car, right?
Yeah. They don't mind. They're about that life up there in Boston. So I'm thinking that they thought they hit the truck. And then they found out it was just a banner. And they're like, hey,
you think
this
they
is a-
stole it
yes!
out of the truck.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
But how
yes,
did they know
that
that banner was in that said truck?
No, they
inside
didn't know.
Inside information.
They didn't know.
Come on, y'all are ridiculous.
Let me tell
right
you,
now.
They didn't know, Wendy.
Exactly.
They stole it. When you're a thief,
they just stole a random package and they're
yes.
like, oh, look.
They did.
Look,
and
look,
they
guys.
Stumbled out of this.
Yeah,
yes.
They stumbled. No, they
didn't realize
yes, they
you
did.
Two were big. Big
know,
time
like
conspiracy
PIs
theorists.
Yeah. All right, so let me get this straight. In the last 5 years, one thing has fallen off one truck in Boston. It just so happened to be the Red Sox
we
banner.
We don't know that. We don't know that.
A delivery truck.
So they just happened to pick up the random package that had it in there, John? You sound just as bananas as saying that the random package that
found out
was banner.
We have your jerseys. They're not jerseys. It's the banner.
We have your banner.
You suggest to the Boston Red Sox, you don't know what's in a big box. So they said maybe it might be jerseys. You don't think so?
I'm not buying any of this.
Stop that. I don't believe that. Right. Hey, you know what? I need, just in case. No, let me.
They just went through the entire delivery truck and found
that one. I need
an
Xbox to fall off the truck.
I need that one.
Yes. They probably took a lot of other stuff. They took
don't
a lot of stuff.
Don't accuse people, Hugh.
Why not?
It's not nice.
It's not nice, but it's the truth.
It's not nice.
You take the banner behind the park, you open up the package, and then you call and say, hey, man, we got your banner. That doesn't happen. I don't know any truck. When you, as a UPS driver, because you know I aspire to be one.
Are you asking the driver, are you going, exactly how did this fall off your truck?
But did the delivery truck that they stole it from say, we're on our way to Fenway with a banner on it? Like
no,
it's like
I'm just
a
saying,
label.
No,
they
I'm just
robbed
saying,
the truck.
They robbed the truck or it was a setup.
They took one package. They took one package and it happened to be the banner.
See, well, Wendy, this is where you're not having any vision. When the UPS truck stopped, they probably ran into the truck and took the banner. I can't see that because even as a UPS driver, you have to, like, when they deliver those packages, they have everything marked and scanned.
But they had, like, 20 minutes to go onto the delivery truck, find that specific package that said,
know that it's going to Fenway Park.
Right.
Or it's an inside job where the delivery driver's in on it.
Oh, my God.
And says to the guys, hey, it's going to fall out my back. You guys follow me here.
This is what you guys are thinking. How you know is this only one package that was stolen?
Boy, we don't know that.
You two are working your brains way too much for this.
You people are too trusty.
Yeah,
I don't trust anybody.
Here, like our new sluice. Hey, we'll see you guys. I'm so glad you guys are not doing radio anymore. Why don't y'all
like
just go be PIs?
Hey, you know what? We're going to have a new show, another reboot, I Spy, with you and John.
John, I Spy with my little eye of thief.
Hey, listen.
Not buying it.
I don't
buy it.
They stole that banner.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It could be the Mod Squad, and you'll be Peggy Lipton.
And I'll be Link Hayes.
You look like Link.
But I don't have an afro.
Peggy Lipton.
You look like Link Hayes.
So that makes me the old man Lipton from the interview show, you know, with the guys
down,
with the stars on the page.
Investigating guys' okay, crime.
Have either the two of you ever delivered anything in your life, like work, some type of delivery job?
Yeah, Hugh.
Yes.
Have you ever?
What did you deliver?
Or gotten the wrong package?
No, the only thing, no, I haven't.
Yeah, well, John doesn't order online.
Now, you do know when you have a bunch of packages in a vehicle, there is time that you take things off the truck sometimes because
you're
going
out the back,
it goes out the front,
even when they do
that. No, not necessarily true, John.
But even when they do that, they have to mark the packages.
No, you don't. Not if you're moving something off because you're trying to get something else.
Every time.
I've made that mistake before.
I've gotten the wrong package at my apartment.
When the UPS guy comes, he scans the
when he's giving it to you.
Yes,
when he's giving it to you.
They do that when they take it off the
truck,
too.
But if you're offloading the truck, Hugh, because you're trying to move something else, you're not scanning it.
There was a package in front of my door with one wrong
number. I know what I'm
going to
do in retirement. I'm just going to follow the UPS truck around. See, I grab stuff that falls off, okay?
Y'all sound ridiculous. I hope you know that. Y'all sound insane.
I just don't buy it. I'm sorry.
We got the super troopers up in here.
We got the package in the car to pop.
You say meow? Meow? You saying right meow?
Hey, we got your package. And the only way we're going to give it back is for Red Sox tickets.
Hang on, though.
Come on, man.
Wendy, what did the team say? Oh, thank you. We thought we lost it. We'll give you tickets. You guys are heroes. No, the Red Sox said, pound sand. We're not giving you squat.
You know they'd be stealing.
We've already ordered another one. So
is it too early for wine? I mean, great day.
Wine time sometime, somewhere.
No, yes, it's wine time now.
Okay.
It's Michael Vick time now.
They did not. No, don't you accuse people, Hugh. You don't want someone accusing you.
That's what I think.
They stole that banner.
Yeah, I do too.
It's in Boston too. They stole that banner.
Michael Vick and Brad Childress, the head coach and offensive coordinator of the new AAF team in Atlanta. They're going to be live in studio with us in a couple of minutes next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.